Hey guys, we want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. We are excited to be in a series called Defining the Enemy. Let's listen in as we identify the true enemies we face in our everyday lives so that we can understand what we are battling against.
Guys, thanks for joining us today in this episode of our Men's Summit podcast. My name is Dustin Heron. I'm the men's pastor here at the Southlake campus. And today I'm going to be talking about living a life of overcoming the flesh. And I'm really excited to talk about this topic because I think in the regular Christian man's life, we can all identify with areas of our lives where our flesh nature is dominating our spirit nature. And so there are areas where we all have maybe regular sins that keep happening in our lives. Maybe we've been struggling with them for months to years to even decades. And so how do we live a life where we overcome our flesh and we allow our spirit to rule in our bodies? And so I'm going to jump right in. We've all heard the phrase that we aren't physical beings having a spiritual experience here on earth, but rather we are spiritual beings that are having a physical experience, meaning our original nature is a spirit nature. But because of sin and because of the sin in our flesh that happened from the garden, we now have this normal bend towards walking according to the flesh rather than walking after the things of the spirit. But our truest nature, being created after the likeness and image of God, is to be a spiritual being that chases after God and chases after righteousness. And so we recognize that that's there. But point number one is this, and this is going to be real basic, real obvious. Every man has both a spirit and a flesh. If you think about different examples that we can look at through, whether it's literature or through movies, if you look at this idea of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, there's these two polar opposites of people that are at war with one another, with Dr. Jekyll and also with Mr. Hyde. If you look at Marvel's character, the Hulk, if you look at the Hulk versus Bruce Banner, now I know that the Hulk himself, Bruce, eventually is able to turn and manipulate into one of the Avengers. He's a good guy. He's a superhero. But right off the bat, when Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk just becomes this rage monster who's just he just creates chaos. He destroys things, and he's just reactive to this animalistic behavior. And then another person that you could look at is your own self. If you look at your old self versus your new self, you. Before Christ, you pre-Christ and pre-salvation, and now if you look at yourself post-Christ and post-salvation, you should be able to see this big difference in who you are and the way that you live your life. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and to put on the new self created after the likeness and image of God in true righteousness and holiness. So even within ourselves, and this is what we're talking about, we see this old self, which is walking after things according to the flesh, versus your new self, which is now chasing and re-geared towards chasing after the things of the Spirit, which is of God. Another great example, and I'm really going to use this throughout today's podcast, today's episode, is if we look in the Old Testament at the sons of Isaac, then we see a great analogy and picture of both flesh and spirit. So Abraham had Isaac. Isaac was the son of promise, and Isaac married Rebecca. Rebecca got pregnant with twins, and then whenever she gave birth to two sons, one named Isaac and the other named Jacob. And if we look at what Scripture says about these two twins, if we look at, for example, Genesis 25:27, it says, "When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in the tents." Now, when it says that Jacob was a quiet man, I don't want you to get this idea that he was just somebody who was very shy, very timid. He sat among the tents and didn't do anything as a mama's boy type character. Sometimes we see that depicted whenever, whether pastors talk about him or a movie's created about Jacob, he seems to be this quiet man. This word quiet is the same word that's used in Job 1, verse 8, and it says, "And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless," that's that word, that same word, it's in Hebrew, it's called Tom, "a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." This word Tom in Hebrew can be translated, it can be translated quiet, but most of the time in the Old Testament it's translated as blameless, complete, guiltless, integrity, peaceful, perfect one. So whenever you think about Jacob, don't think about him as a quiet mama's boy who just sits among the tents. That word dwelling among the tents is actually a Jewish idiom, a phrase that means that he's studying the things of God. And so he's likely sitting at home as a perfect, as a complete, as a really good son, listening to his father, Isaac, talk about the Lord and his relationship with God. And also, he's listening to his grandfather, Abraham, talking about his adventures with God and how he was called out of the land of Ur and all these different things. And so Jacob is the one who's behaving the way he's supposed to. He's with his fathers. He's learning about things of God. And then we have the opposite with Esau. Esau, when he literally comes out of the womb, he's extremely hairy. He's animalistic in nature. And almost picture this fur that's covering his body, whereas Jacob says that he's very smooth-skinned. Esau comes out, he's almost like this animal. It says that he's a man of the field and a skillful hunter. He's a man of the field, meaning he's not with his parents, he's not where he's supposed to be, he's out and about causing chaos, but then he's also chasing after animals and killing them. He's a skillful hunter. The only other person in Scripture who was specifically called a man who is a skillful hunter before the Lord was Nimrod, and Nimrod was one of the most evil rulers that we see in all of the Old Testament. And so Esau is almost compared to this Nimrod figure who's killing animals for sport, is what many scholars have taught, that he just enjoys killing. And so he's chasing after his own animalistic desires and his flesh. And so again, this is a picture of the spirit nature versus the flesh nature. And inside of each and every one of us is that Jacob, that spirit nature that longs and yearns to chase after the things of God, versus that Esau nature, that fleshly, animalistic, I want to give in to the impulses and gratify the desires of the flesh. We have that nature as well. And both are actually needed in order to live life here on earth. Obviously, we need our spiritual nature because that's the part of us that desires to connect and have relationship with God. But we also need to give or feed our fleshly nature in some sense. Because if we don't eat, for example, which is something that our flesh needs, and if we don't drink water, for example, which again is something that our flesh needs, we'll literally die within about a week. If we don't eat or drink anything, our bodies just begin to deplete and decay, and we actually won't live. So we do need, in part, we need that flesh nature. But here's the big question. Which nature are you going to give first reign and first priority? Because these two are at war with one another. And when they're at war, they're not at peace. And you can't allow your spirit and your flesh to live in equal harmony. One has to be in first place, and one has to be underneath it in submission. And so that brings us to point number two. Point number one is you have both a spirit nature and a flesh nature, and we want to overcome that flesh nature. Point number two is this. One will be stronger than the other. Real quick, I want to talk about two Hebrew words. I'm going to say them in Hebrew, and then I'm also going to give you what the English translation of it is. The two words are Yetzer and Yotzer. Again, Yetzer and Yotzer. The Yetzer, or the Yetzer Hara in Hebrew, if we translate that into English, is the evil inclination. It's that natural impulse to chase after things of self rather than things of God. And the word Yotzer in English is this word creator, and it's referring to God, who is the creator of all things. He's the one who created us. And here's a rabbinic saying that includes these two words, Yetzer and Yotzer. The saying is, will I serve my Yetzer or will I serve my Yotzer? For if I serve my Yetzer, then I cannot serve my Yotzer. But if I serve my Yotzer, then I cannot serve my Yetzer. Which one will I serve? And really what's being asked here is, are you going to serve yourself? Are you going to serve your flesh? Or are you going to serve your creator above? And you're going to allow your spirit to take control of that flesh. We see this in a great example, I think, if we look at the New Testament. Paul's writing to the Romans, and he says in Romans 1:25, he's talking about sinners. He says, therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, their bodies meaning all of their flesh, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served, get this, the creature rather than the creator. Again, it says that they worshiped and served the creature, which is a perfect picture of that Yetzer, that Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, the animalistic behavior to chase after self rather than the creator, which is again Yotzer. So who knows if Paul, even though this was written in Greek in this portion, who knows if Paul was even thinking to himself, the Yetzer and the Yotzer. And so one of our Yetzer or Yotzer, one is going to have first place on the throne of our heart as far as which nature are we going to more walk after and serve and allow to reign over us. And so I want to go back real quick to this analogy of Jacob, the spirit man, versus Esau, which is the flesh man. And if we look at Genesis 25, we get a revelation and some insight onto which one will be stronger and which one will serve the other. And so if you remember the story, Rebecca gets pregnant. She has twins within her. And then there's such a commotion, a warring, a struggle within her own womb, which is a picture of us as mankind who have this struggle between our flesh and our spirit within ourselves internally. She has such a struggle within herself that she goes to the Lord and she says, "What is this struggle that's going on?" And Genesis 25, verse 23 says, "And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall," get this, "serve the younger." Now this word serve in Hebrew is this word abad, and it can mean two different things. If it's pronounced or enunciated a certain way, then it means serve. But on the flip side, if you just change the way that you enunciate it, you don't have to change any words, you don't have to change any letters, you don't have to change the consonants, anything like that. If you just pronunciate it a different way, then instead of meaning serve, it means the opposite. It means to enslave. And so we see here this deep truth and revelation that one will be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger, or you can read it, the older shall enslave the younger. So it's talking here about how Esau is first born. He's born first, and then out comes Jacob, who's the younger. And that can even be a picture of our natural bend is towards our animalistic Esau flesh nature rather than our spirit nature. But whenever they come out, it's saying that Esau shall serve Jacob, meaning the flesh shall serve the spirit. But if you just change the way that you enunciate that word, it also means that Esau shall enslave Jacob, and Esau shall enslave the younger. And so we really have to get into this idea of which one are we going to allow to live in stronger, which one are we going to allow to be stronger in our lives? Are we going to allow our Jacob, our spirit, or our Esau, which is our flesh? Because one will be stronger than the other, and one will serve the other. I believe this is exactly what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 7. He says, "I have the desire to do what is right, but I have the inability to do it." Meaning, I have a desire to chase after the things of the Spirit, but naturally, I can't get there because my flesh stands in the way. And I think, again, naturally, we have a bend towards our flesh rather than our spirit. And so he's saying, I have a desire to do what is good, things of the Spirit, but I can't do it. And then later on goes to say, that which I want to do, I do not do, talking about things of the Spirit. And that which I hate to do, which are things of the flesh, I end up doing. O wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death, this fleshly body? And it says, praise God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so point number one was we have two different natures. We have both a flesh and a spirit. Point number two is one will be stronger than the other. And I really want to ask this question, which nature do you want to reign in your life? As a Christian man, or maybe you're not a Christian, you're just tuning in today for this episode, and maybe the Lord led you to it, or you're feeling this struggle within yourself. Maybe you're just like Rebecca, and you're saying, there's something that's warring within me. I want to tell you, that's the difference between your flesh and your spirit. And your spirit wants to chase after God. Your flesh wants to chase after self. And you need to come to a pivotal moment in your life where you make that decision. Am I going to serve God, my Yotzer, my creator? Or am I going to serve my flesh? Am I going to allow me to sit on the throne of my life and chase after myself? You have to come to that decision and make that decision. And if you decide to choose, I want to go after God. I want my spirit to win. I want to overcome living a life where I'm enslaved to my flesh. Well, then this moves us on to point number three. You need to have an offensive mentality. Point number one, you have both flesh and a spirit. Point number two, one's going to be stronger. Point number three, if you've decided that you want your spirit to be stronger than your flesh, then you need to have an offense mentality whenever you come against and you address these two different natures within you. Back in October of 2018, we had a guest speaker come to one of our men's nights. This guy's name's David Cook. He wrote the book 7 Days in Utopia. He's a sports psychologist, and he's worked with some of the top athletes in the world on having a strong mental game. And one of the things that he said in his sermon to us at the men's night was, keep your feet close to the fire. Now, this is a guy who works, again, with Olympic athletes. He's worked with two different NBA MVP All-Stars. And he says that on a regular basis, if you're wanting to achieve well in sports, you have to put yourself in positions where you have to struggle through and fight through and recognize and almost kind of put yourself into situations where there's pressure. Because if there's no pressure on you, and then you go into the final game and you're down 20, or you have to hit all three free throws, you were fouled on a three-pointer, you're down by three, time's ran out, you have to hit all three free throws. Well, you've done free throws thousands and thousands of times if you're an NBA superstar, but maybe you haven't done it with all this pressure on you. And so how do I keep my feet close to the fire? How do I put pressure on in most moments so that I'm grinding it out, and whenever the enemy comes and attacks me, or whenever I'm in that game-winning situation, or I have to hit that putt or whatever, how do I have a strong mental game? And the same, again, goes with your spirit. How do I have a strong spirit life where my spirit causes my flesh to walk into submission to it so that the Esau will serve the Jacob? And really, I think one of the biggest ways to do this is to put yourself into a place where you're regularly thinking about the spirit. You have to get on an offense mentality. You have to feed your spirit. Point number one of feeding your spirit is you have a natural bend to be enslaved to your flesh. Naturally, when you come out of the womb, you don't have to be taught how to sin. You're really good at it. It's your natural nature. But your supernatural bend is to walk in such a way that your spirit is stronger than your flesh. Again, naturally, you have a nature that walks after the flesh, but supernaturally, when you've been born again, you have a natural bend to chase after the things of God, things of the spirit. If you set your mind on the spirit, Romans 8 chapter 6 says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life, and it is peace. And so if all you're doing is recognizing, oh, I'm sinning, I still have this sin, I've been looking at pornography since I was 12, I've been lying and cheating and manipulating the system since I first got my first job, you know, whatever it may be, if you're evading taxes, or if you're yelling at your wife, if you're cussing on a regular basis, whatever the sin may be, if you're doing that and you're regularly just thinking about the fact that you're sinning, well, then all you're doing is focusing on the flesh, and to focus on the flesh is death. But Paul says to set the mind on the spirit is life, and it is peace. So recognize that you need to focus on the spirit. It says, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, if anything be excellent or praiseworthy, meditate on these things, because when you set yourself and your mind on things of the spirit, then you walk in success in that area. But if all you do is think about how bad you are and how difficult it is to overcome your flesh, well, then all of a sudden you're not going to have a victory in that area. Another way to feed your spirit is just to recognize and know who actually dwells within you. Romans 8 chapter 11 says, if the spirit of him who rose Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. And so that tells us right there, the actual Spirit of God, the same supernatural Spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the dead out of the grave and gave life to him, also lives within us. And if we don't tag team Holy Spirit with our spirit, then we're not going to be able to overcome the flesh. But if we can recognize that that power lives in us and we have unlimited access to it at any moment, then all of a sudden the warfare becomes very easy for us to walk in victory over our flesh and to chase after the things of God. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He actually lives and dwells in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So recognizing that the Holy Spirit and that Christ himself lives in me, I have access, spiritual access to him at any moment. That gives us that supercharge of feeding our spirit to know that our spirit is stronger than our flesh when we go after it. A third area where we can feed into our spirit rather than feeding into our flesh is to target areas where we struggle and shore up those areas with strengthening our spirit so that it's stronger than the flesh. For example, if you struggle with lust, then strengthen your spirit in that area. So physically you're struggling with lust in your flesh is struggling to lust. Well, strengthen your spirit in that same area. So if your eyes keep focusing on things of the flesh, then spiritually get your spiritual eyes to focus on the things of God, and then your spirit will be stronger than your flesh, and your flesh will be submitted to your spirit. So what do I mean? Here's a great example. It's a revelation that I felt like the Lord gave me years ago. Proverbs 27 verse 20 says, "The eyes of a man are never satisfied." When I looked at pornography and I was addicted to that in high school and early parts of college, I never thought to myself, you know what? I've looked at enough pornography. I've looked at enough. I'm now satisfied. I feel good. I can take a break. It was never anything like that. My eyes were never satisfied, and that's scriptural. And I always, there's an insatiable thirst that man has to look and observe and to see. And so again, scripture says the eyes of a man, they just aren't satisfied. But Colossians 1:15 says this, "He," meaning Jesus, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day, and I was asking him, "How, Lord, do I get my eyes to stop focusing on things that are lustful and things of the flesh?" And he said to me, "If you'll fix your eyes on the image of the invisible God, then all of a sudden your eyes will be satisfied." Because physically my eyes cannot be satisfied, but if I can get my spiritual eyes to focus and lock gaze with the image of the invisible God, which is Jesus, then all of a sudden that insatiable thirst is fully met and fully found in him. And if my eyes are fixed on him, then they cannot also be fixed on things of the flesh. So that's what I mean. If you're struggling in a physical area of your flesh, then strengthen the opposite area, that same opposite area in your spirit. So another example, if you're struggling with your weight, then strengthen your spirit in that area. If you're struggling with trying to lose weight or disciplining yourself to not eat, whether it's desserts or red meats or whatever it may be, but then if you fast and you pray, you're taking something, an area where you're physically and flesh, in your flesh, you're struggling, and you're re-gearing that towards something that is spiritual in that same area, well, then all of a sudden you're going to see discipline happen. And as you focus on things of the spirit in that area of fasting and spending that time in prayer and chasing after God, well, then you're all of a sudden your spirit is going to be stronger in the discipline of fasting and praying than your flesh is. And you're not going to just walk into a restaurant and order a bunch of desserts. It's just not going to happen because you're strengthening your spirit. And as your spirit is stronger, your flesh submits to it. Another area of strengthening your weaknesses is if you speak death over your wife all the time, and I don't mean like you're actually pronouncing death over her, but if you're just cutting her off and you're having outbursts of anger and you're being rude to her and you're interrupting her, if you're just not speaking life over your wife and you're cutting her down all the time, if you'll speak life over her on a regular basis, washing her with the water of the word, which is exactly what Jesus did with us, his bride, then I promise you the same words that came out of your mouth before when you were giving into the flesh will not happen, because if you spend time every single day speaking life and truth and encouragement over your wife, you will not turn around with that same tongue and speak death and discouragement and hurtful things over her. Because you're strengthening that area in your spirit, and your spirit will force your flesh to submit underneath it. So in any area, no matter what area it is that you're struggling in your flesh, find out what that area is in the spiritual realm. Focus on it and strengthen it. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to give you ideas and to give you strategies on strengthening your spirit in that area, and naturally, your spirit will cause your flesh to submit to it. So again, today we've talked about living a life of overcoming the flesh. We've recognized that point number one, every man has both a spirit nature and a flesh nature. And we looked at that through the life of Jacob and Esau, Jacob being the spirit and Esau being a picture of the flesh. Point number two was one will be stronger than the other. Either Jacob will have Esau submit to him, the older serving the younger, or the older will enslave the younger, meaning your flesh will naturally force you to submit to it. And that's the way that we come out of the womb, is we have a natural bend towards sin. So once we do come to that pivotal place where we decide that we do want to walk after the things of the spirit rather than the things of the flesh, Then point number three takes place, and we have an offense mentality when it comes to our spiritual life. Now, offense mentality meaning that we are always moving forward and giving energy and strength to developing and growing spiritually. A lot of men will spend their lives trying to tone and hone their bodies to do exactly what they want it to. They try to exercise all those right muscles. But if you would just spend that same amount of time, or even half that time, focusing on chasing after the things of God, exercising those spiritual muscles. If you're dealing with lust, then focus on seeing God for who He is and allowing Him to satisfy your eyes. If you keep walking in the area of anger or outbursts or inability to make decisions or anything like that, find that same area that applies to you spiritually and strengthen that area. And as you do that, just like Scripture says, the older will serve the younger, meaning your Jacob will be the one that has your Esau serve him. Your spirit will reign in your body. Thanks again, guys, for joining us for today's podcast. I hope this has been a huge blessing and helpful in your life. Take care and be blessed.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Be sure to check out gatewaypeople.com for all things happening at our amazing church. And if you would like more information on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.